Our Old Testament scripture reading is taken from the book of Proverbs. Please turn with me, if you would, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 9, verses 1 through 18. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 1 through 18. Please pay careful and reverent attention to the reading of God's holy and inerrant word. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her table. She has sent out her maidens. She cries out from the highest places of the city. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding. He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself, and he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. And if you scoff, you will bear it alone. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing. For she sits at the door of her house on a seat by the highest places of the city to call to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And as for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of hell. Thus far, the reading of God's word. There's a couple of things I think we should notice about this passage. First of all, notice how wisdom sends out her invitation to everyone. And the word that came to my mind as I thought about this passage, quite frankly, is hospitality. Wisdom is very hospitable. Notice how everything is laid out. Notice how the meat for this banquet is laid out. Notice how the wine has been laid out. Notice this sincere invitation that's given to us in God's word to pursue wisdom. And because wisdom has been so laid out for us, we really have no excuse if we don't seek after wisdom. If we don't seek after wisdom, then whose fault is that? It's really our fault, and we're accountable for that. There's nothing that the Lord has left undone for us if we really want to sincerely pursue wisdom. We have no excuse for not finding it. But what's the problem? The problem is foolishness is also sending out her invitation. The foolishness of the world says, come in here. Stolen water is sweet. Bread that is eaten in secret. In other words, surreptitiously, in a criminal way. This bread that is obtained in an illicit way is actually very pleasant. To eat, and we can eat that in secret, and we can get away with it. That's what the world's message is for us, and it's a very popular message. Very interesting here that according to this passage, that the foolish woman is actually at the highest point of the city, where everybody can see her, where everybody can hear her, And of course, all you have to do is look at the internet. All you have to do is look at the newspaper or the magazines or what's on television, and you see that worldly wisdom is a very popular thing to pursue. But what's the end result? The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. And that's what we see in the last verse of this passage as well. The people of this world don't know what's waiting in store for them if they continue on their way of foolishness, if they continue to reject the wisdom that God offers to them sincerely in His Word. The people of this world don't know that the end result of these things that they're doing is death. And so what are we supposed to do about these things? Well, we're supposed to pursue wisdom. And how does wisdom begin? Well, that's very interesting in this passage, how wisdom begins, because it tells us in verse 10 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You see, we don't even start to become wise until we learn how to have this sense of reverence for the Lord, until we learn how to worship Him, until we really learn how to praise Him from our hearts. We don't even start to become wise. You know, I sometimes listen to 980 AM on my radio, and there's this man coming on. I can't remember what his name is, but he's talking about retirement. And I recently retired, so I tend to listen to a couple of things that he says. I can't listen for a long time, but I listen to a couple of things he says, and he talks about how it's possible to become independently wealthy in real estate and that sort of thing. And I think to myself, well, now here's a man that has a lot of wisdom. Here's a man that has a lot of knowledge. But what sort of wisdom is it? Well, it's the wisdom of this world. It's what you and I might call worldly wisdom or worldly understanding. And there's a lot of people in this world that have that kind of understanding. And sometimes even the book of Proverbs will teach us how it is that we can make our way through this world and be successful in a sense. But how does real wisdom begin? Well, real wisdom doesn't begin with an understanding of how the financial markets work or how to buy the right stocks or how to invest in real estate. Real wisdom doesn't begin when we learn how to get one over on our neighbors. Real wisdom begins when we learn how to fear the Lord. The last chapter of Ecclesiastes says that you and I, as people of God, really have two responsibilities. One is to keep the commandments of God, and the other one is to fear God. We must fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man, the Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 14. And this verse ought to remind us of that. We don't start to become wise. We haven't even made a beginning in wisdom. Regardless of what the world teaches us or wants to teach us, we haven't made a beginning of wisdom, real godly wisdom as opposed to worldly wisdom, until we really learn how to revere the Lord, until we really learn how to praise Him, until we really learn how to worship Him. You don't have any wisdom. We don't have any knowledge. We don't have any understanding. But this is the way of life for us. The way of life for us is to know God and the one that He sent, even our Lord Jesus. Well, let's have a time of prayer. Please join with me in prayer. One of the things we want to pray about, not only is Carolyn, that Dave mentioned earlier, but let's also remember to pray for Rob Haynes. I don't know if many of you have met Rob Haynes, but he was an elder. He was an elder in our church in Wichita, and he has brain cancer. So some of us at the presbytery have been praying for him. Let's pray for him as a congregation as well. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank You for the privilege that it is of being able to pray and know that You hear us. We know that You don't hear us because of who we are or because of what we have done. But we confess the fact that we're sinners, and we ask for Your forgiveness for our sins. But we know that You hear us nevertheless, because Jesus intercedes for us at Your right hand in heaven. And so now, Lord, we pray for our needs, for the needs of our congregation, for the needs of our brothers and sisters in Christ, for the needs of our community and our state and our world. We ask, Lord, that you would bless this congregation. We know that we're going through a series of changes as a congregation, and we know that sometimes those changes can be hard. It's sometimes hard for us to adjust to the changes that you and your wise providence are bringing into the life of our congregation. But we pray, Lord, that you would give us the grace that we need to glorify you even in the midst of these changes. We thank you for what you are doing in us as individuals. We thank you for what you are doing in the life of our congregation, because we know that all things work together for the good of those who love you and are called according to your purpose. We especially pray for the meeting next month. We ask that you would bless our congregation with wisdom and understanding as we come together to consider our church's finances and our budget, as we consider the move that's about to take place. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to understand what it is that you would have us to do as the leaders of our congregation and as the members. And, Lord, we also pray that you would be with Pastor Barnes. We thank you for the opportunity and the privilege that he has of bringing your word to the people in Texas today. We ask that you would give him wisdom and words to speak that are honoring and glorifying to you and helpful to that congregation. And Lord, we also pray that you would be with Carolyn Moore. We ask that you would touch her body, that you would bring healing to her. We pray that not only that you would heal her physically, but we pray that you would bless her spiritually and emotionally too. We know that this terrible fall is going to be a trial in her life, but we also know that you can give her the grace that she needs to use this trial in a way that honors and glorifies you. We know that you can use this trial to bring her closer to yourself, and we pray that you would do that. We also pray for our friend Rob Haynes. We're grieved, Lord, when we think of his suffering as a result of this brain cancer, but we pray, Lord, that you would somehow use the suffering that you and your wife's providence have brought to pass in his life to draw him closer to you. And we pray for his wife, Carrie. We ask that you would also give her grace so that she would be able to minister to Rob in a way that honors and glorifies you. We pray, Lord, that the treatment that he is receiving would be successful and that you would cure him of this terrible cancer. And, Lord, we pray for our witness as a church. It's an honor, Lord, to be a church that seeks to glorify you in the way that we worship, in the way that we live, and in the way that we witness to you. And we pray that throughout this community and the community to which we will move soon, Lord willing, we pray that you would help us to be faithful witnesses to you, and that people would see something very special and something unique because of the work that you have done in our hearts and our lives. And we pray that as a result of what they see, that they would be attracted to you, not so that they would glorify us, Lord, but so that they would glorify you and worship you and praise you and thank you as you deserve to be worshipped and praised and thanked. And, Lord, we pray that you would be with our session. We thank you for Pastor Andrew. We thank you for Elder Dave. We know, Lord, that we are sometimes a hard and obstinate people to shepherd. And sometimes we grieve them because of the things that we do. But, Lord, we pray that you would help them to be patient with us. We pray that you would help them to love us and correct us and teach us and admonish us and even discipline us when we need these things. Help them to be brave and courageous as well as loving and gentle toward us. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.